Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to Hamp's Corner of America, a corner where your host, Codis Hampton II, hangs out with notable guests, discussing topics of interest to you and yours. Milwaukee's 13th and Juno is where our host grew up, where his creativity and his imagination originated. Hamp's Corner of America is where we discuss, debate, and innovate. In the end, we will all leave with a sense of purpose. So come on, hang out with us. And now your host, Codis Hampton II.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Hamp. Here at the corner, we're pleased that you're taking the time to check us out. We are old school here, without disregarding the contributions of hip-hop to our current state of being. You will find that we often refer back to our past, as we do believe that if you do not know where you came from, you most certainly will not get to where you want to go. It is our hope that you will hang with us and our guest of the hour, and even contribute to the discussion, so that we may leave here having gained, or at the very least, enhanced our perspective on the topics of today. And by all means, have fun while doing so. Without further ado, let's get deep into it.
Deep into it indeed. Hello, 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 folks. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're taking the time to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring on Alex Dubay and his wife, Natasha. They are from South Africa, where they are 9 hours ahead of our Pacific Standard Time here in the on the East Coast, West Coast. That is the reason for a pre-taped telephone interview. We are certain your interest in the couple and their business will pique after hearing the interviews. Also stopping by is Sam Enan, the founder of the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association, or better known as BOPSA. So let's get started here on the West Coast while I remember where I'm at. It's early in the morning. Okay, today's feature CD comes from my Milwaukee, Wisconsin homeboy, Al Jarreau, produced by Narada Michael Walden. It's a 1992 production CD entitled Heaven and Earth. The first cut is called It's Not Hard to Love You.
It's raining hard. I gotta get to you, baby. Traffic's moving slow. You stop and go. Yeah, I keep dreaming about you, baby. It's not hard to love you at all. looking good. I knew you would. I love the dress you're wearing. Damn. Candlelight and wine to melt your mind. I'm gonna show you that I'm caring.
Give you a little background on our first guest, Alex and Natasha Dubé. They're a young married couple currently living in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa. Outsiders and some insiders simply call it Pietermaritzburg. You will hear Alex provide you background on some of the political issues that happened while he was growing up. Yet, here is a man who went on to earn a degree in engineering from the University of Zimbabwe. He is married with two young girls, ages 4 and 10. What is fascinating, besides them being young entrepreneurs, are they are managing to live, work, and play together as a couple and family. They are the designers of a hip and stylish afro and twist comb. They are introducing it to our American market, the UK, and other outlets in Europe with the help of Bopsa after getting rave reviews from their local customers. You have to keep your listening ears tuned in because of their slight accent. Sorry, we use the speakerphone on their end, so it's a little bit, well, let's just say you have to really listen in, but we'll do better next time because we'll have them back. And their English is clear and really not difficult to understand. So let's play the first segment of our taped conversation with the Dubés. Here is Alex and Natasha Dubé.
Okay, here we go. Hello and welcome to the show, Alex and Natasha Dubé. Alex, is that the correct pronunciation of your last name?
Good afternoon, Congress. Thank you so much for having us on the show. That is indeed the correct pronunciation of our name, Dubé.
Okay, Dubé. All right. Yeah, I'm so happy to hear your voice and introduce you to our American audience. Is this the first United States blog talk radio interview that you guys done?
Yes, it is a very great radio blog interview, and we're really super excited about talking to you today.
Oh, okay, good. Well, we're anxious to get to know you two also, so let's get started. Alex, why don't you briefly tell us what it was like growing up in your hometown?
Yeah, I grew up in Harare, which is the capital of Central City of Zimbabwe. My family was a fairly I was the first born of four children.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up at a time when the Liberation War was going on. We were imagining living on the front line of things against the fight time. There was war in Mozambique, in Namibia, war in Angola, and war in South Africa. This was a time when there was a lot of racial tension and division, the Bush War was going on the countryside. But fortunately, nothing is a urban area where I was staying, and my parents did a lot to shield me from all the ongoing dangerous situation in the country.
Mm-hmm.
2 years before independence and the coming of now President Robert Mugabe to power, my family moved to the formerly white suburban areas. And that is where I attended most of my schooling. It wasn't an easy time, being the only other black child in a white classroom, and I had to develop coping mechanisms, to develop the thick skin. Towards racial slurs and racial insults. And the one way I could fight back is what I did was to excel at sports and in class. I got very good grades.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up being very good at athletics and rugby. And I came up top in my class in high school.
All right, Natasha, the same question. And where did you grow up?
I'm South African, born and bred, and I grew up in the capital city of Pretoria, which is next to Joburg. I went to small country school, and also at a time during civil war in the country. So in the 80s, there was a lot of questions about human rights. So I lived through the time of the 80s, although I didn't require any of the political process because it's not the discussions and did not understanding what the stuff from the depart due to the limited information that was available. So I think that's been an actual most of my schooling career.
Okay. All right. After graduating as a civil engineer from the University of Zimbabwe, Alex, you took a position as a project manager for a water utility in Pietermaritzburg, Kalamazoo. Is it Natal or Natal?
It's Natal.
Natal, okay.
Natal.
Okay, and where you and your future and present wife, Natasha, met. Natasha, how did you two meet, and what was your first impression of Alex?
I actually met Alex at a party. We used to like doing house parties, so I came to one of the parties that he's doing in his house.
Mm-hmm.
With some friends, and that's how I met him, at his house. I think what I liked mostly about him was the way that he smiled, the warmth in his eyes when he speaks, and he's fantastic to be. That's what he over.
I tell you, so was he sort of popular with the girls, or he just kind of shy on his own? Oh, okay. Well, we'll just leave it at that then. And what was your impression of Natasha, Alex?
Well, the first time I saw her, she was standing by the kitchen sink. Rinsing or cleaning the glass. And, you know, she was wearing this tight, clean dress. And my first impression was, wow.
Yeah.
I think I wanted her to get her this thing. I decided to see a friend because I really wanted to ask myself, I wasn't going to rush it. If anything, I was going to play RPG. I was going to just take it slow. And I did this the point that the one day she asked him for his to come out to dinner, and I refused. At the time, and only a few weeks later, I was invited to a Whitney Houston concert. When Whitney Houston came to Durban, at that point that things didn't move forward and just never come back.
So the date went well?
Yes, it went well. How could it not? At a Whitney Houston concert.
And at the time, Natasha, you were continuing your education, right?
I actually moved from Victoria to Kwazulu Natal to complete my studies. I wanted to do political journalism, but I really liked the issue that it was an extra way of dying young, and I had so much to live for. And I decided to choose something more in line with the kind of skills and things that I really like. I think marketing communication. So that's the career that I
pursued
and that I'm doing right now.
Oh, okay. And what was your goals at the time? I understood your major, I believe, but what was your goals at the time? Was there anything specific or just in general?
My goals are eligible.
I see. Alex, what prompted you to continue your studies in the Netherlands, and why did you choose that particular school?
Well, the opportunity came about because the Netherlands government had a program to offer scholarships to engineering graduates, and the company that I was working for identified me as the most deserving candidate. Going to the Netherlands was quite a cultural shock for me. The food was different. And the idea of riding bicycles as a mode of transportation, you know, took a lot of getting used to. I found the guys to be fairly liberal, open-minded people, and straight to the point, sort of what you see, what you get, yet quite sociable. From a social life perspective, it was wonderful, the nightlife, everything was beautiful there. But my life as a single young black male was totally, because only after 2 months my sister joined me, she decided to come out.
And how was the social life in the Netherlands for a young black man?
Social life was beautiful. But as I say, it was a short lead because my cat had started to join.
I understand there was a detour in your career as you decided to try your hand at real estate in Pietermaritzburg. Tell us a little bit about the capital city of over 500,000 residents.
Pietermaritzburg is just a beautiful place. It has a lot of cultural and architectural heritage, and there are numerous museums and old Jewish buildings that are national monuments. Nelson Mandela was arrested by the apartheid government, just outside Pietermaritzburg, and it's there, but a monument that's called the Nelson Mandela Chapter Site has been erected. There's a lot of sporting activity that takes place in Pietermaritzburg, such as the Comrade Marathon, the Mountain Bike World Championship. There's a Jersey canoe race. Pietermaritzburg is very centrally located to wildlife parks and nature reserves, and there's lovely hiking trails. It's really a beautiful place to live in.
Okay. All right. I'm going to cut this off for a minute, and we're going to take a break, and then I'll pick it up on the second half, okay? Yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you guys back, okay? I've got an emergency call coming in, and I've got to take that, so I'll call you back in about 5 minutes. Is that all right? Okay, thank you. I'll be right back.
Yeah, it turned out I had an anxious contractor who was supposed to come a couple hours earlier than he actually did. He came too early, so I had to take care of some business from my home studio. At any rate, this program is brought to you by Ham's Corner of America parent company, the Chia Group. You can check us out at hcofa.net, where you will also find how to order my latest book entitled The Episodic Thoughts of Hamp. It's a compilation of my blogs and articles from 1999 through 2014 with other surprises. The Episodic Thoughts of Hamp is available worldwide, paperback and ebook formats at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and the United Kingdom's iAuthor book site at www.iauthor.uk.com. For you Apple users, the book is available in an iPad, iPhone format at your Apple Internet distributors. You can also find my blogs on a regular basis at katararhythm.wordpress.com. That's katararhythm, one word, katararhythm.wordpress.com. The show is also brought to you by Rich Tycoon's all-original AO brand. You may have seen him wearing it on his latest CD, Chapter 34. He has on a pullover hooded sweatshirt with the pronounced letters A-O capitalized in bold. The hooded sweatshirts come in a variety of colors. He also has a zippered style with a hoodie, the same all-original lettering across the chest, displaying the big AO for you. You can go to his site at blackbizness.net for the full details. That's blackbizness.net. I got mine. Order yours today. We will continue playing our selected CD of the day, Heaven and Earth. The second cut from Al Jarreau. He calls it his Blue Angel.
Kind of lover that needs a big surprise, and I'm a brown
always, and great entertainment of Al Jarreau. Anyway, we're back, and we are now going to play the second half of the Alex and Natasha Dubai interview. And Jesus Christ, I keep the last name is pronounced Dubai. Remember that, Ham. Anyway, we're going to play the second part of the interview, and hope you enjoy. They're a very interesting couple. Here we go.
Okay, we're back with Alex and Natasha. Alex, I think you mentioned in your bio after acquiring a few downtown residential properties, you actually applied some creative renovations and interior designs. Can you tell us about that and how those changes increase the overall value of the property themselves?
Yes, sure. Really, this is about finding or identifying value that one can exploit. It could be as simple as identifying a property where the security is poor, or the property is not well maintained, or maybe even just the rentals are not market related, they're lower than what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy that building, improve the security, put in access control, and do some basic maintenance like painting and plumbing. And after that, you know, you have created value and I would sell it off at a higher price.
Mm-hmm.
There are times, for instance, when I've bought a residential building or a block of apartments, with fairly large but with communal bathrooms and kitchens, with communal bathrooms and kitchens, and I was simply convert those rooms to incorporate the bathroom and kitchen to make a bachelor unit. And do away with the communal facilities. And that way, create real value because now the each flat is standalone. They don't have to share facilities anymore. Mm-hmm. And they increase the value by 3-4 times what I acquired it for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's you know, some of the tricks that I use to create value in property.
Yeah, it sounds like that it's worked. It's caused you to be pretty successful in your real estate business, huh?
Yes, it's been very rewarding.
Okay, all right. By the way, Natasha, how long have you guys been married?
We got married in 2000, so we'll be celebrating our 15th anniversary in November.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, how do you balance being a parent and a business associate of your husband? How do you, you know, I mean, do you bring some of that work home, or is it easy to separate at home, or how do you do that?
I think the key to that is having clear defined roles about who does what, and to that. It also helps you to, you know, obviously treat Alex as a wonderful gent of life or any client that I know to be working in my day-to-day business. That way, I do what, you know, what I'm good at, which is marketing and providing that kind of service, and then leading to this direct to other business. So it helps in the sense that you know, everything very stayed at work because there aren't too many, you know, you're not too interested in the things that you do. That makes sense. It's also quite an art, you know. I admire people who do this, who work with their husbands, because it's quite challenging to try and separate the relationship, your work relationship, from your regular relationship.
Yeah. I know that can be a challenge, but the idea is that you know you're working with somebody you're comfortable with, and that's got to be rewarding too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Part of the advantage is that you know each other and you understand each other, you know, and then, you know, it's a relationship that has been created over a period, and there's been a lot of strength in it.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to capitalize on it. You can, you know, gain quite a lot from it.
Yeah.
For instance, I know my mistakes, I know my strengths, and I know my strengths, and we're able to do, you know, work with both to achieve the best that we can.
Mm. Okay. Right. So,
and I know when to keep quiet. I know when to keep quiet too.
Yeah, and that's important too, you know. But as you say, it's got to be real rewarding when you know that you have someone that, at least when you give your ideas, you know that the ideas are going to be taken seriously, and it's somebody you can trust, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, so how many children do you two have?
We've got two girls, one is four, Leah, and the other one is two, Susie. So we've been blessed with two daughters.
Mm. So, are they showing any aspirations for any particular careers at this time? Well, I know they're pretty young, 4 and 10, so, but the 10-year-old probably is looking, or thinking, anyway.
Yeah, still so four, so she just loves everything, and there's a couple of things that we've noticed, and she's quite consistent in the things that she does. She doesn't like to give up, which is quite a good thing to have. So we'll see how to develop that particular skill as she grows. Because I think she also gets that from her dad, so because when you find the main person to doing the things that he wants to achieve. Our other daughter is June, who wants to do this. She's doing very well at school, is in the top 5 since then. She's also a musical sister, she loves to play the guitar, and is inspired by Justin Bieber. And she's quite a thinker, and she's a music thinker. And yeah, she's for her, we will support whatever career she chooses. So we'll see.
Yeah, but you know, my biggest worry and concern is that, you know, being too focused on one career might not be such a good idea, because, you know, technology could take away a lot of jobs in the future, you know. A lot of people will be replaced by robots. And then they may return in that way as well. We try and encourage girls to be how to steal. And then we say to them, as long as you know how to invest, you can be anything that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, if you're an investor, you could own part of robot making company or any other company that is relevant at that point in time. So it's about keeping up with the changing
times. Right. And I know I had mentioned before that when my daughter was born, which is the oldest child, the first thing I thought about was getting a shotgun. And I know as a father, you know, you reminisce, or I won't say reminisce, but you think about how you were as a young man and how aggressive you might be, and so you're always suspicious of any dating that they tend to want to do at any time. I think I wanted mine to be 18 before she even saw anybody. So what are your thoughts about that? What are your thoughts about that, Alex?
The shotgun approach is not a bad idea, eh? But, you know, really, I've said to myself, you know, that the best way to deal with this is to capacitate them, give them the knowledge and power to be able to make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then do that, you know, they shouldn't go wrong, really. that's the best that you can do.
Yeah. But even at that, you still want to be the one who takes interviews, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I agree, you know, you certainly want to, I mean, you know how you raise your child, and it sounds like that you two are doing an excellent job, and you're giving them the values and the knowledge in which to be able to choose different things that come up in their lifestyle, so you want to trust your children, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's what you want.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your invention and the marketing of your Afro and twist comb. I understand the idea of the comb came from the unusual use of a tennis racket. Do you want to tell us the story, Alex or Natasha?
Well, Natasha has always liked natural hair. And then I've always encouraged her to keep the hair natural because I like cutting the hair and I like running my fingers through the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Doing treats on a hair is an easy way to keep the hair natural. She went to quite a lot of trouble to find out how to do treats on a hair. And after asking a lot of people, their cousins told her that, you know, you do it by using a tennis racket.
Yeah.
And so that's what she did. Yeah. And before we knew it, there were tennis rackets all over the houses, all over the house.
Yeah.
Places, strategic places.
Yeah.
One in the bedroom. One in the car, one in the office, for her to be able to maintain her hair wherever she likes to be.
Yeah.
And, because I took another school, so I watch my hair quite often. I'm quite busy as well, so sometimes I have to, you know, think about it often, so I need an extra one day. And I need an extra one in the car because I would have taken a 6 hour gym.
Mm.
So I think that's where the idea came from. That was the inspiration for the call.
Mm.
Yeah, because you can imagine how cumbersome the racket, to carry around.
Yeah.
It didn't help with the kids. The kids were often getting upset because mommy was taking the racket.
Yeah, that's for sure, and you definitely couldn't fit it in the clutch purse, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, I was wondering, the youngest one was, I just went in for play tennis, and, you know, she seemed surprised that we actually used the racket to play tennis,
to concentrate on the tennis game when you're thinking, oh, wow, I better not do this. It might break the string. Yeah. What are some of your local... go ahead, Alex.
Out of this process, then obviously came the combination of an afro comb and a hair treating tool.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this, we need a trim one because you need it for treating your hair. And can also comb your hair, so Natasha doesn't have to carry a tennis racket and an afro comb.
Mm.
It's the only one to, that's the right size that you can advance.
Yeah. I actually put a picture of it on the poster that I sent you guys earlier today. After we first talked, it has a poster. Okay, good. So yeah, it certainly looks like a useful tool, that's for sure.
So, it really is, because compared to what's in the market at the moment, it's easy to clean, and it doesn't, disintegrate from breaking tissue, because it's just simply made of plastic.
And also, it's quite portable, which is fantastic, so you just carry one in my bag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What are some of your local market media you use and currently use to promote items in Africa?
I think so far we've used a lot of social media, Facebook and Twitter, but more importantly, we try to give a few samples to different salon owners so that they can try it out because it's new to that no one knows very little about. And a lot of people, I've not given it out to people, but showing them and it wasn't as successful. So I find that giving to salon owners who, you know, who work with me all the time and want to show customers how to use it. And that's how we, you know, we've grown the demand for it. So, and also because it comes from a trusted source, anyway, hands down, word of mouth works all the time in terms of marketing. So that's the approach that we've gone for locally.
And I understand. No, I was just going to say, and I understand on the packaging of the unit itself, you have a sort of a drawing of or at least instructions on how to use it.
Yes, you do, and we're also busy with a video which we're going to update to YouTube and Vimeo so that people can also see. You know, I think the video is more illustrative than pictures anyway, so they can see exactly how to use them and the results to achieve. Also, we are involved in talks with local people that produce products for natural goods. So we want to do joint promotions with them that will complement each other. So those are some of the other sort of marketing, those are the nine marketing that we're doing.
Good, good, good. So your degrees have come in real handy. Import-export management and business management and the marketing.
Plus the skills that I've gained along the years from working with various business clients as well as, you know, your basic manual receipts, you know, all of that is really interesting in terms of finding value while using, you know, a minimum budget for physical new products. It's coming quite handy.
So Alex, looks like you as they say in the States sometimes, looks like you married well. Okay. Okay. So how did you two hear of Sam Ian from Boxer?
The wonderful thing called the internet.
Yeah,
I was reading up on the African-American hair market when I came across Boxer, the wonderful work that they are doing to promote and assist black businesses. When I contacted Sam, he was very welcoming, and he recognized the significance of my invention and offered to assist. And, you know, he's you know, done a lot for us, made a lot of introductions, and we did our first two shipments to the United States last week, and here we are, talking to you, through this doing.
Is this the first item you brought into the American marketplace?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And I know, well, I would assume you have plans for other products that you can talk about now or just briefly mention or just the fact that you do have other products. What do you think?
We do have other products that are in development, but, you know, for obvious reasons, you know, we're not at liberty to divulge more information at this stage. Well, you know, the backdrop to this is that, you know, and until recently, you know, I've been a closet inventor. You know, sort of busy inventing things quietly behind the scenes. Invention by its very nature, you know, is only get out information once you've acquired your intellectual property protection.
Right.
And you see the product to a stage that you can actually, you know, start discussing it with people.
Okay.
And it's even more challenging in our society here, where inventions are not commonplace, especially for people. And then some people, you know, when you talk about inventions, they think you're weird.
Mm, right.
We are
a sort
of men scientists. So,
yeah, you just have to keep quiet and talk to the right people. Mm-hmm. All right. Exactly. And, you know, some people, you know, they'll poke holes in every idea you have, but you got to be persistent. And I'm sure you already know that, so I'm not going to even. Yeah.
You know, you absolutely have to be persistent. You know, if you can't. Listening to the first person who calls water on your idea, you know, you really have to, you know, evaluate it, test it, and see if it's working. And, you know, so, you know, we went through all these processes with the call.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it was a blessing that, you know, my wife was using it and we know it works, and, you know, boom, that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So will you promise to allow me to introduce you to again? I mean, among others, I'm certainly not looking for a link, so to speak, but at least have me in as one of the people that you would appear, who say you would appear on to bring your product to the U.S. market?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right. And just so you know, I wanted to tell you again, we will provide a link to our show and this particular interview that can be accessed any time of the day or night by accessing the internet. We will also provide you with a podcast link to your interview on this show. And please let me know if you need anything else to aid you with your local marketing and I can help you with, okay?
Okay.
All right, let me ask another question here. What are your overall business plans for the immediate future, and do you see yourself continuing to be successful in your endeavors?
I think that the goal of every organization is to be successful, both viable and sustainable as well. So that's one of our goals, and we're working towards that all the time. And in the fact that, you know, we now launched into the American market is a sign that we're headed in the right direction. So we will continue to, you know, try to give all our best, and hopefully things will go very well.
Yeah, you know, we believe that it's incumbent on us to do the best that we can to improve our community.
Right.
And the world, whilst at the same time creating wealth and employment.
Mm, yeah, which is a very good strategic goal, and one, as you just said, that helps the people, helps all of us, really.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I did not cover that you would like to mention here about your business or personal life?
I've just done something really humbling and exciting to see our brand new news and adding value to so many clients all over the world.
Mm.
And that it really makes our daily struggle with our business really worthwhile.
Right.
And so keep at it.
And I know I didn't mention that you guys are actually introducing this Afro twist comb to other markets too, aren't you? Other than the U.S., I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, such as.
Yes, indeed, we are. We have already. That is discussions with the UK, and we will be, doing the rest of Europe, as well as the African market.
Okay. Well, since Alex Ennen is a friend of mine, and we're in collaboration with some things on Boxer, and I'm sure I saw his latest newsletter for Boxer, and you guys were a major. Part of the article of one about the Afro twist comb. So I'm sure we're going to keep in touch.
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you have a point of contact or a website that you want to give out so people can get in touch with you?
We are on Facebook under Echo and Truth. If you search for Echo and Truth, you'll find us. And then the email address is info@echoandtruth.co.za. And the website will be echoandtruth.co.za.
Okay.
So you can find us. You can go to the
okay.
And you know, just contact Bob there as well.
Okay. And I want to thank you, Alex, from Natasha Dubai. I hope we can all do this again in the summer of 2016, or a little bit later, but certainly in the summer of 2016, where you can come in and give us an update. Is that okay with you guys?
Great, yeah.
And I will promise you, by that time, our communications will be a lot better. We will probably do it by Skype, and we'll have our network up and running then. So everything will be a little bit easier then. I promise you that.
Okay.
Thank you guys for being patient with me, and hope you have a nice the rest of the holiday, so to speak, since it's evening time there, and. We will keep in touch, okay?
Thank you.
All right, kiss the girls for me, and you guys take it easy, all right?
Okay. Bye.
All right, bye.
And for you, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have another interview with Alex and Natasha Dubé for our October 7th show. It's going to be a collaboration between Bobsa, the Dubays, and the UK connection. So stay tuned for that. You'll hear more about that later. And in honor of our guest, Alex and Natasha Dubé, who sounds like a couple in love while having a great working relationship, here again is Al Jarreau with the title track of our featured CD, Heaven and Earth. Al Jarreau.
I've always believed in dreams and that fantasies somehow come true when dreaming of you. I've seen the moment's magic shine upon the darkest night and fill it with light. I've heard the wind whisper melody of love meant to be. I've searched the
chasing my dreams on the wings of air.
going to bring on Sam Enan of BOPSA, Black Owners Beauty Supply Association. He is the founder and the collaborator with Alex and Natasha Dubé on the Afro and Twist Comb. So we're going to do an interview with him, and it was a telephone taped interview, so bear with us. And I know you can't get in your calls, but that's okay. Just listen and enjoy.
All right. Well, we're going to introduce Sam Enan of BOPSA. And hello, Sam, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, just wanted to make sure that you got on to, and we could talk about what's going on with BOPSA and what's going on, period. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. What is going on with BOPSA that you could tell us about today? Some of the exciting things that's happening.
Well, there's a lot of exciting things that constantly, the industry is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. So BOPSA has to change with the industry, and some of the things that we're going to be putting forth in the next 9 months is the new program called Look for the Black Lady in the Circle,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be using manufacturers, black small manufacturers. There's a lot of manufacturers out there that want to become national brands, and they have problems with that. So we need to educate the black consumer about where these manufacturers are when they go looking for products, whether it's online, social media, or on a, you know, in a retail store. So we're going to be making an effort to let these manufacturers put our logo on their packaging. At the same time we do that,
mm-hmm.
we'll be educating the consumer about looking for that particular logo on the back of these packages, products that are on the market, in the marketplace.
Mm. And describe that logo again, because I know it's a nice looking logo, but let me hear you describe it.
It actually is the boxer logo, but what we've done is put black model inside the circle. So it's the same program actually that years ago ABBA, American Health and Beauty Aid Association,
mm-hmm.
had with their gathering their manufacturers, black manufacturers together to try and help the consumer, you know, buy their products because they're black companies, because it's very confusing out there for the consumer. It's thousands and thousands of products out there,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the products have black models on them, and the black consumer don't realize that that is really not a black product.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be making a big effort in educating the consumer, and also, you know, getting the black small manufacturers to participate in the program.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding that you're meeting more people, and at least more people are becoming more attuned to BOPSA and how they can assist them in associating with the black hair care industry?
Yes, BOPSA is at a point now where we need to expand our, we need to get more people to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to really help internally, you know, to help build this, more of the structure. Right now, we've been working the last 11 years. It's just been, you know, utilizing people, services to help us, but we really need to really get more professional and put together a real organization where we have people that can that are on paid staff,
mm-hmm.
basically, and that's what we're going to be trying doing next year, getting more of a professional look in terms of our organization, the internal part of our organization.
Okay.
So, you know, because there's so many different things that are going on in the hair, black hair care industry, that we definitely need more help.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, we're going to have to start hiring people and putting them on a salary.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way people are going to come to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, everybody sees the vision, but everybody needs to pay, be able to pay their lights.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the main thing. Yeah, I saw your newsletter where one of the primary articles was on the Negro Motorist Green Book from back in the day. You want to tell us a little bit about that book?
Well, you know, the young lady that writes the articles for our newsletter, she gets quite of information about the the flight of the black black America, and where we came from. And I remember that book when I was real small, but it's something that my parents never really talked about. But I remember when we came migrated from Vicksburg, Mississippi to California. There was a road book, and I remember it vaguely. For some reason, our parents didn't want to tell us about that, that book, because it was something that we needed. Because you know, when black folks were moving from the south, going north or going the west, you know, we couldn't stay at the various roadside hotels or even restaurants. So we had to have safe places to stay while we're on the road. So it was really rough for us coming back, going back to them days, because people were not just friendly towards black people. So this book was created. And Dave, I don't know that much about it other than I was just amazed. A lot of people don't know about the book, so that's nice. You know, we decided to just go ahead and put it in the newsletter. It has nothing to do with the black hair care industry, but then again, it does, because it's black people. So I've asked a lot of people that's in my age group, and they don't remember the book. So it's something, it's a secret, I guess.
But obviously it was a well-read book, because I see there's several volumes. I mean, you know, they go back to, I believe, early 20s, I think. All the way up to 60-something, 1960-something.
1969. And it's really amazing that, you haven't heard anything about the Green Book, it's just amazing. So I guess there's a lot of things in our history that we're not aware of. It's just kept a secret. Because I think America feels so sad about that, and they're embarrassed about that.
I know I always tell the story where me and my father and family was going from Milwaukee to Arkansas one summer, and I must have been about 13 years old. Bottom line is my father went into a store in Illinois, sort of on the road, to get some drinks and, refreshments for the kids. And they had a pool table in there, so I sort of, being an anxious and inquisitive kid, sort of meandered over to the pool table, and there was two white guys playing. So, kind of struck up a conversation. I mean, we are in Illinois at that point. Do you play? Yada yada, the basic stuff. All I know is I looked over, my father was grabbing my arm, taking me out of there. Come on here, boy. We went outside. I'm looking at the pin. What did I do wrong? Get in the car. We got to go. So he never did explain it to me. But later on, of course, I found out. Figured it out on my own. Like you said, people. Black people had to be careful when they were on the road. Period. So you never know where the danger would come from. The best thing is just not to say anything. Well, I want to thank you for introducing me to Alex and Natasha today. Such a nice and loving business couple, right?
Yeah, they from South Africa, which they're members of BAFSA. And Alex, of course, is the engineer, and actually Nat is her name. I haven't had a chance to talk to her, believe it or not. I've been talking to Alex. So Alex is his wife is the one that created the concept of the Afro pig comb, which is very unique, very simple. And they joined BAFSA about 2 months ago now, and BAFSA is going to do the marketing part of the piece for them, because they don't have any experience in marketing products. So we have it for the whole United States. In fact, we have it for probably the whole international market as well, because we are right now working with a company in the UK, which one of our members in the UK, and he's going to be the distributor, and he's a salesperson for that part of the world, And we have really, it's really taken off, because we got them to put it in a package, and it's a very simple tool. The product is traditionally the barbershop used what they call the sponge,
mm-hmm.
and although the sponge is a great item to use for the twisties,
mm-hmm.
and but the thing about it keeping it clean, you know, mm-hmm. that's been a big problem with the sponge. So they came out with this with the Afro Pit comb, and actually his wife was actually using a tennis racket to,
mm-hmm.
to do the process to twist her hair,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so his Alex came up with the idea, well, why don't we just do a comb and make it a dual thing where they can do an Afro Pit as well as use a little tennis racket on the end of the comb, and, you know, it'll be versatile, and plus it's easier to keep clean.
Right.
It's mobile, too.
Right.
So it's mobile, too.
Right.
So, you know, we packaged it. I did some postcards. We're going to do an advertising. We've got an ad coming up. We're going to do a video.
Mm-hmm.
But we meet every once a week on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Communicate, you know, it's actually what it is, the sales meeting. And we've sold over 200,000 of those combs here in the United States
right
now. Just over the last 6 weeks.
Isn't that great?
And so what I'm going to do is, you know, when they do this process with the comb, the twisties, they have a product, and they usually use whatever is available.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gel.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is create a line around the comb, so when they use the comb, they can also use the Afro Twist comb product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that will just even build his the potential of the comb, you know, because people are going to copy it because it's so simple.
Yeah.
But if you're the first one out there and you have more than just the comb and you got the products to go along with it,
mm-hmm.
as it stands now, even the sponges, they're using someone else's product.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to put a product with that comb,
mm-hmm.
to give it more, make it a stronger item,
mm-hmm.
in the marketplace.
Yeah, so that's a great idea.
Really excited about, yeah, he's really excited about that.
Yeah.
And we're going to probably do some real numbers. But that's some of the things that Bosco, that we bring to the table as an organization, because we can have a person create a brand new brand or take a brand they have and take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
From the graphics to the videos to the just to the sales aspect of it, because we have sales people that actually can go out and sell the product to the end user,
you know,
as well as, you know, the brick and mortar stores. So that's the positive thing and the great tool that we have as an organization. That's what makes us so strong in the industry.
Okay. Are you still deeply involved with your black box vending machine?
Well, we had to put that on the back burner for a minute. We are going to be launching it. We're way behind on that. You know,
mm-hmm.
we already got the two or three places to place it,
mm-hmm.
but we have some issues, you know, with the manufacturer and also the financing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're coming through that, and we'll hopefully I'll have it out before the end of this month.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to point out to us today?
Not really, but you know, we're going to change the structure of Bosco going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to be right now, we're a non-profit organization. We have never used that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be more of a trade organization where, you know, we really want to get into, and the membership is going to be probably reduced.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's $300 a year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to change that, and we're going to focus on more than services and our expertise,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just going to be, members are just going to, if people want to join, just join.
Yeah.
And we are changing our website, which is the website. Now you can go there and you can actually see the various categories, and there's a directory.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those in that directory is, it's like the beauty supply, these are all black owned companies, beauty supply stores, manufacturers,
mm-hmm.
You know, natural shops, salons, barbershops, and you click on it and it'll, a window will come up and drop down, and you can go to the places near your area where you live if you're looking for a barbershop in an area, and it'll take you to the barbershop closest to you.
Yeah. And I know you sent out a monthly, well, it seems like every other month, newsletter, too.
Yeah, that newsletter, I know we sent out a lot of emails,
mm-hmm.
ads for products and stuff, and things that are going on in our industry. We have a newsletter come out once a month, And we just, I think this is August issue coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I think July, August, and we just sent that out.
Right.
There's quite a few articles in there. The article's in there about Alex and his Apple tweet,
mm-hmm.
and about the Green Book, that's in there. And then there's another article about white women getting shown white women how to wear a natural.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other articles. And this is articles that would interest people in our industry, not only people in our industry, but even the black consumers.
Yeah. How do you get that newsletter? Do you have to be a member of BOPSA, or can you also just sign up for it?
You can sign up for it. There's a place on the website. If not, you can send us an email and we'll put you in the database at sam@bopsa.org.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's going to be the archives on the website that you can see the last,
okay.
And you can click on it and download it. You know, it's a link to it. It'll take you right to the link.
Well, this, I tell you, it's an impressive newsletter for one thing, and very current, because it covers news that people need to know, so to speak. Not only want to, they should want to know, but need to know. So, well, I'm certainly glad that you on today with us, Sam. We wanted to touch bases with you, and I know we're trying to get another network or a network up, and that's hopefully coming by November, December. It's certainly in the January time frame for BOPSA. I'm glad we're collaborating, and just glad that to get to know you, a person who is about strengthening the black community. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
It's knowledge is power.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold you, Dan. I'm going to let you go. Do you want to give your contact information again?
Our web address is www.bopsa.org.
Mm-hmm.
And my email address is sam@bobsa.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then my phone number is 650-863-3491. And you can just ask for Sam, and we'll talk to you, send us an email.
All right, thank you, Sam. From BOPSA. This is the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association.
Yeah, keep the faith.
Keep the faith. All right, thanks, brother, man.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Continuing with Al Jarreau's Heaven and Earth CD, he calls this one, If I Break, by Al Jarreau.
If I break. You were the one with schemes of plenty. Out your way to waiting all the while. We were the two they said could conquer any. Has anyone seen my missing smile?
If I break, it's only protects the young and foolish. Making mistakes is also bad.
Speaking of BOPSA, our show is also brought to you by BOPSA, which stands for Black Owned Beauty Supply Association. Their mission, connecting the black dots, consisting of 8 major connections. They are consumer social media, hair care product manufacturers and hair distributors, barbershops, salons, natural hair salons and braiding salons, and beauty supply stores. Traditional retail and online shopping, and finally, number 8, the black community. That is the 8 major connections when connecting the dots. Check out the details of BOPSA founder Sam Enan's latest concept, the Black Box Barber Caddies for Men. And entrepreneurs can get the full details on how to become an investor, distributor, salesperson, or wholesaler of the Black Box Caddy trio of machines. Specifically, the Black Box Barber Caddy with men's hair care products. There's the Black Box Beauty Supply with women hair care products. And the Black Box Natural Products, which addresses the natural black hairstyles that are becoming more popular today. The Black Box Trio are vending machines that will expand your income potential and serve your customer base. Think Inside the Box. Go to www.bobsa.org for complete details, or visit www.theblackboxbarbercaddy.com, or simply call Sam Enan at the number he gave, which was 650-863-3491. Tell him Hamp sent you. All right, we're going to go back to my man Al Jarreau, and here is What You Do to Me. Come on, Al.
Girl, you sure looking good.
Just gets better. Hey, da 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 da.
Well, we're counting down, folks. There will be no last word segment today. We're just going to play our last song. Yes, it's been an informative show today, that's for sure. I want to thank all of our guests, and including Sam Enan from Bobson, and of course, Alex and Natasha Dubé from South Africa. We're going to end our Al Jarreau salute with an upbeat tune. This one he simply calls Superfine Love. super fine love. Clock on the wall says we're way past our time. As always, we meet here on the corner on a bi-monthly basis. I am your host, Curtis Hampton II. Just so you and audience know, we do have chat room capabilities here. You can even chat among yourselves while you wait to ask our guest or myself a question. Since we always sprinkle our show with 5 to 6 musical cuts from our favorite artists, let us know your favorites and I will try to get them in. If there are any comments, you can post them right on the show's comment section. Please join us for another smooth jazz soul music combination of my pre-birthday celebration and collaboration with my man in Dallas. He is Eldridge March, the new DFW Hot Radio, happening this Saturday, August 15th, at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. As the flower people used to say back in the day, far out. Details and other specifics will be available on our website, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as other social media. If you can't join us while we're live, you can always tune in to our website and listen to the show at your leisure. For now, peace. Thank God for making it such a wonderful day and a more promising tomorrow. Good night. Take it easy.